Welcome to Learn Digital, the go-to podcast for Australian teachers looking to better integrate ICT into their classrooms. Here's your host, Kim Maslin.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Learn Digital. I have a very special guest on the show for you today. You see, a couple of weeks ago, I returned to visit my old high school. This was not only the high school that I attended as a student, it was also a high school that I worked at for a number of years. The principal, Ian Elder, graciously gave up his time to sit down and have a chat with me about his thoughts and experiences on the impact that technology is having on education and what this means for teachers and schools moving forward. There is so much that new and experienced teachers alike can learn from this man. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. I'm joined today by Mr. Ian Elder, Principal of Santa Maria College in Attardale, Western Australia. Ian has over 45 years' experience in education, having spent 15 years in government schools and 30 years in the Catholic system. He has worked as a principal for 18 years, 8 of which have been served here at Santa Maria College. Ian, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks, Kim, and it's just lovely having you back. I get great joy seeing people that have worked with me go on and blossom in their career, and so congratulations on what you're doing and particularly your book.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, very exciting times. Mm. What I was hoping we would talk a little bit about today was your perceptions and experiences as you've progressed throughout the education system, looking specifically at technology and technology developments. So with that in mind, what developments in technology have you witnessed or experienced during your time as an educator, and which do you think have been most significant?
I just think the availability of information. I think back on my time as even a student and going to university and doing an assignment, and you'd go to the library and if the book wasn't there, well, bad luck. What will I do now? Well, now it's all at their fingertips. Every book is there. So the students at this school are walking around with basically libraries of the world. So the availability of information is probably the biggest change that I've seen, which has then also impacted on how we actually operate as a school. What does a school library look like these days? You know, where we're going to go through a bit of a transition between what is available digitally, but then the joy of reading should never be lost. And so how do we merge these two things?
Yeah, definitely. And I bet with that, all those opportunities for learning equally come the risks as well. I know, for example, cyberbullying is one of the big risks that both parents and teachers, you know, occupy themselves with. And your school, quite recently, back in term one, the drama production focused on the theme of cyberbullying. Are you able to share with us some of the thought behind incorporating this contemporary issue into the production?
I think it comes back to the basics of teaching. Whether you're wanting to teach about drugs, whether you want to teach about alcohol, whether you want to teach about bullying, if you truly believe I'll stand up in front of the classroom and tell them the good about it and tell them the bad about it, it will all be assimilated by them and they'll go away and they will become good citizens. No, it doesn't work. And just because you've said something, and you might say it again and again, it doesn't mean it's been heard. So if any particular message you want to get across, what are some different ways I can do it? Yes, we can have the talk. Yes, we can have role plays. They might actually act out what it's like to be a bully and what it's like to be at the other end. And then I think anything, if it's so important that we need to teach about it, let's be as creative as possible that we can. And so I think using it as a school play, which was, I thought it was a wonderful play, and a lot of people in the audience might have thought, oh, they've made it deliberately provocative with the script. No, every part of the script was actually real words that had been expressed through a bullying situation. And I think wonderful way of portraying it.
And so powerful for the kids in the audience to recognise that this is real and this is what people experience.
Yeah, because sometimes we think about the person being bullied, and as we should, but the actual bully has big problems. And if they actually normalise it, they actually believe that their behaviour is normal, they are really at risk later in life as they go through life, not only becoming isolated in their friendship groups, but actually developing further mental problems. And so well, let's see it through the eyes of the bully, if possible, and let's see it through the eyes of the ones being bullied.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like an incredible production. Mm. From this and going forward from a production like this, do you believe that there are other ways that schools and teachers can address an issue like cyberbullying?
I think as long as we continue to be creative, the old methods of imparting information are still good methods. I think don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, obviously use those. But if we can add some extra things to the toolkit to get the message across, all the better. It's definitely not just all about sanctions. You know, if you want to get something across, it's all about sanctions. Because we're dealing with things that are broader in society. That it's not just happening in schools, it's happening in the workforce, it's happening elsewhere. So, if people start to believe this is normal behaviour, we've got a problem.
Completely agree. No, that's so true. In regards to ICT looking more generally in schools, what challenges do you think that schools and teachers face when it comes to effectively integrating IT into the classroom?
This is the one that, actually, in knowing you were coming, I needed to do a bit more thinking about this, because it's one of my concerns. Let's just take the internet, for example. I refer to the internet as the Wild West. It has evolved so quickly. It has evolved without a lot of regulation. Therefore, I think we're into a bit of a time of, are we going to do any correction in this? Because let's imagine if I decided to go to the local council and say, I want to start up a new library. We want to have a different library. And in this library, we're going to have books. But the books will be not in any order. We might have books about like World War II. There they all are, written by some great academics. And put in there all the books written by skeptics that don't believe anything that ever did happen. They've got no credibility, but put them there as equal value. And while we're there doing a bit of art, we may as well think, well, the human body is a very artistic form. Let's put in a bit of pornography as well. Throw all that in. Have all this available for everyone, and we might as well, how to make a bomb, how to do euthanasia, put them all there, because it's a knowledge society, we all should be able to have knowledge. And, well, that's what the internet has become.
It is.
I don't think I'd get away with making a library like that.
Particularly if you then open the doors to that library and let a 8-year-old walk in.
That's right.
And look at anything in there.
Yes.
Definitely.
And so I think that's one of the challenges that I see, is that we need to have good literacy, we need to have good numeracy, but we need to have good research skills. And so how can we make sure that what they are looking at when they are searching on the internet, you know, is bona fide, that is credible, and so on. So that's a big challenge for educators. And the other one I just want to touch on just briefly is, I'll go to Pasi Sahlberg, is a Finnish educator and well known. And as you know, when they talk about the PISA testing, Finland was always up there as one of the great ones. Well, he made a comment recently that all Western countries are showing a decline in their PISA results, which you're talking about 15-year-olds. And he talks about reading. And he said, look, in Finland, we're not doing anything different in the classroom. The way we teach is still the same, but our reading results are going down. And he puts a tentative hypothesis of saying, with this instant information and this skim reading and to try and find the right answer, are we doing an injustice to deep learning? And therefore, even reading, because reading not just for enjoyment, but reading for understanding, are we losing something by this plethora of information that is out there?
Definitely. I think it's definitely something worth considering and to investigate further. And then I guess in the classroom, you know, do teachers need to adapt to these new ways that the kids are accessing information and, I guess, explicitly teach that deep learning?
Deep learning is certainly at the schools one of the big topics for us, because as you know, when you were in front of the classroom, and certainly when I was in front of the classroom, one of the things we didn't really like as a teacher was when the student used to say, is this in the test? You know, so everything's all about, is it in the test? No, I'm telling you this because I want you to explore and go into a deeper way. So it's just about passing tests. We've got education wrong. And now we have got this vast amount of information that we can draw on. Let's use it, but let's do it well. And it's not just about passing tests.
Definitely. It's about preparing them for the world.
Yeah. And even, I think, doing some different things in the classroom. For example, let's imagine a mathematics class and there's a student in there who has done all the work that the teacher has asked and they finish with 10 minutes to go. How do we often do we reward them? We give them more maths. Why not? What would you like to do now for the next 10 minutes?
Yeah. And challenge them and extend them. Yeah. And the technology can facilitate that.
It can.
Now, there'll be a number of graduate teachers and students studying education listening to this podcast. So, Ian, for those people listening and looking at entering the education world, what advice would you give them, particularly in regards to ICT skills?
I am involved in the interviewing of future teachers. I just think it's now normalised that they would come very adept, and they've come through a different generation to my generation. They are very adept. I don't think they need to go out of their way to be able to master the techniques of what can happen in there. But the thing that I would like them to be starting to think about is that, yes, all that information is there, but how can I use it to improve teaching and learning? And I think if we keep coming back to that question, yes, it's there, I've got the skills to use it, but how am I going to use it to improve teaching and learning? And I don't know all the answers, and that's why you've worked with me and you've heard me say, I can learn from the graduate and the graduate can learn from me. And we're going into a lot of new ground. And it's exciting, and I think we should embrace it and not become skeptics. Embrace it, but take on how is it going to improve teaching and learning.
Yeah, definitely. And the graduates listening, I'm sure, will have many, many ideas that they can share with future schools and likewise. Fantastic. Now, to finish off, obviously a lot of developments have occurred in the recent decades with technology. Where do you see it all going from here?
I see some quite exciting things in Western Australia at the moment. In the Catholic system, we've got a big project called Leading Lights, which is trying to join all of our schools and give them access to what is out there. Now, a school like ours, which is relatively well resourced, I can get teachers like yourself to go and do all this work and put it up there and our students can access it, and that's all very nice. But if that's happening in every school individually, that's not a really good use. Whereas if we could have something that all of our schools, they can all log in, they can see it, they might be having an assignment on a certain topic, they can be then sent to well-known sites that have already been ticked off saying, yes, these are genuine, these are good, these will help your learning, that will be great. And then as the student is using this from time after time, the artificial intelligence will start to pick up what sites they're going to, and then they'll probably be able to then start extending them to go to other sites, you know, depending on their own interests. So I think there's some quite exciting things there, but just making it available. We need to have an education system that it's not just available to some, it should be available to all. So this Leading Lights program within Catholic education, I think, is very exciting.
I completely agree. I'm also in a Catholic school, as you know, and we've just got Leading Lights. We're just rolling it out. And some of the features they've brought in, I can already see for year fours, year fives, even year ones, the potential is all there.
Yes.
It's really exciting. And, it'll be interesting to see how each school can embrace that and how teachers will run with it and what can be achieved. It's very exciting times.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Ian Elder, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, and I'm sure my listeners will have gotten a lot out of it, and we appreciate your time and efforts.
No, thank you, Kim. It's just a delight having you back here.
Thank you. All the best for the future.
Bye.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget, jump onto Facebook, join the ICT Teaching and Learning Community Group Australia, to get more resources, ideas, and support from myself and teachers all around the country. If you have any ideas, suggestions, or feedback on how to make this podcast more relevant and beneficial for you, please don't hesitate to get in touch. Thank you. See you next time.